This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, students at the University of New Mexico introduce a divestment resolution that targets corporations profiting from human rights violations in Palestine and at the U.S.-Mexico border. We'll speak to Dania Mustafa, a student activist in Albuquerque, about the hearing scheduled for Wednesday night.
What's happening in Palestine is happening here in Albuquerque, and that's why it's more of an obligation that our community comes together and supports this divestment resolution, because, you know, these companies also are supplying our militarized state here.
Also, anti-boycott legislation fails in the Illinois State Senate, but Florida and Maryland are considering similar bills. We'll talk to attorney Dima Khalidi of Palestine Solidarity Legal Support about these attacks on academic freedom and free speech. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Oakland. As we reported in our last podcast, on March 18th, Loyola University in Chicago became the first Jesuit university in the United States to pass a student government resolution to divest from companies complicit in aiding the Israeli occupation in Palestine. The Senate legislation called upon Loyola University Chicago to remove its holdings from eight specific companies that play active roles in the human rights abuses committed by the Israeli government. A week later, after anti-Palestinian groups mobilized against the passage of the resolution, a second vote was held, which again passed, although with a narrower margin. However, even though the divestment resolution passed twice, the student government president vetoed the resolution. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency, or JTA, reported, quote, Pedro Guerrero, president of the Loyola United Student Government Association, or USGA, on Tuesday vetoed the resolution that called on the university to remove its holdings from eight companies that provide equipment or services to Israel for use in the West Bank. The JTA also makes clear the interference of off-campus anti-Palestinian groups, which welcomed Guerrero's action. Quote, pro-Israel students were assisted in their efforts to overturn the measure by the Metro Chicago Hillel and the Jewish United Fund's Israel Education Center. The two organizations issued a statement Tuesday praising Guerrero's, quote, courageous and considered decision to veto the resolution. The Student Senate voted to overturn the veto on Tuesday evening, but did not win a necessary two-thirds majority. Meanwhile, students involved in a week-long sit-in at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, some of whom we spoke with in our last podcast, finally pressured the student government to hold a divestment hearing, which they had indefinitely tabled on March 18th. However, after an intense, hours-long debate watched by thousands of people live-streaming the event online, the University of Michigan student government defeated the motion calling for divestment from companies profiting from Israeli occupation and human rights abuses. Despite losing the divestment resolution vote, campus Palestine Solidarity activists showed they had massive support by mobilizing hundreds of fellow students to attend the meeting. Students Allied for Freedom and Equality, the campus group that proposed the divestment resolution, had already gained the support of 36 other campus organizations. And this week at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, hundreds turned out for the annual student assembly where they voted by a large margin in favor of a divestment resolution. And last Friday, without much fuss, the student government at the University of Michigan Dearborn passed a resolution which calls for the creation of an advisory committee to investigate companies eligible for divestment because of occupation profiteering. The Michigan Journal notes that UM Dearborn's student government, quote, has called for divestment on four previous occasions, in 2005, 2006, 2010, and 2012. And the more recent resolutions called for the collection of signatures on petitions to create a committee to review the investments. And finally, this week, students at DePaul University in Chicago and the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque are gearing up to introduce divestment resolutions in their respective student governments. I spoke with Dania Mustafa of Students for Justice in Palestine at the University of New Mexico on Tuesday to talk about the lead-up to the resolution hearing, which will be held today, Wednesday, and will be live-streamed on the internet. I began by asking Dania to talk about the nature of the resolution itself and why the campus chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine is pushing for divestment.
Okay, so divestment, I would say, like, it's been the thought process of all the SJP students or, you know, the SJP activists for a while, like, I would say a couple years. But we started getting more mobilized in terms of, like, making sure that we have a coalition base when we present this divestment resolution. We really wanted to make sure that, you know, we had a lot of people coming to this meeting, and we worked with organizations such as MECHA and UNM Dream Team to make sure that, like, everyone is, it's very inclusive of our other organizations. This past semester, we worked diligently on making sure that this resolution was, you know, ready to go for our student senate. And we originally wanted to have this resolution go through during Israeli Apartheid Week, which was a couple of weeks ago. But because of, you know, format delays, we had to extend it to this week, which actually turned out to be a crazy week. But also at the same time, we have been able to mobilize people like none other before. Pretty much, like, what we're asking for in our divestment resolution is that we have three demands mainly. Our first demand is we want our university to divest funds from companies or corporations that profit off of human rights violations in Palestine and Israel, but also, you know, those same companies also profit off human rights violations here on the border. And New Mexico is a border state, so this really hits home to us. And our second demand is because our university, even though it's a public institution, is very hard to find where our university is invested in. There is really no transparency, and so we are asking our university to be more transparent and letting us know where they're invested in. Our third demand is we're asking our university to have a social responsible investment committee in place with student representation. The reason being is that in 1985, after the UNM regions fully divested from South African apartheid, one of the regions called for a socially responsible investment committee. That was in 1985, and it's 2014, and there is still no such thing. So we're making sure that we want to hold our school accountable, and we want to be able to have a say in where our money is invested in.
Dania, you mentioned that there's not a lot of transparency between the Board of Regents and the companies that they invest your tuition into. Is there any way that you've identified any of the companies that work either to violate human rights in Palestine or here on the U.S.-Mexico border?
Right. One of our main corporations that we can see evidence that our university is invested in is Hewlett-Packard. And that's apparent throughout the university. And so that was our first ask, divest from Hewlett-Packard if our university is invested in it. And actually, we found some portfolios that actually have evidence that we are heavily invested in Hewlett-Packard. In New Mexico, we sort of made the assumption that a lot of our investments might be into corporations that deal with the military-industrial complex, because New Mexico is one of the leading states in manufacturing weapons and surveillance technology. And so we added in Elbit Systems to the resolution. We added in G4S because of the heavy presence of ICE. And G4S is actually a company that also, you know, helps transport undocumented people and to deport them. And they also privatize prisons here along the border for undocumented immigrants. And another company is Caterpillar. That's another company that we have a few evidence just by the bulldozers that are, or the construction technology that is being used at our university. And then we also added SodaStream. And the reason we added SodaStream is because when people think about BDS and when they think about, you know, our movement, we've noticed that a lot of people who aren't aware of what's happening in Palestine, Israel, understand what's happening with SodaStream. And so we really wanted to make that connection with senators so that that could start off the conversation with what is divestment, what are we trying to do, and why it's important that we don't that pretty much our university wipes its blood off their hands off human rights violations.
Dania Mustafa, can you talk about what's been happening alongside the preparations for divestment this week in Albuquerque and how Students for Justice in Palestine are mobilizing within the local community to fight repression right outside your front door?
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, the Albuquerque Police Department actually shot and killed a homeless man who was, quote unquote, illegally camping. And there's a video of about 10 police officers shooting and killing this man who had his back turned to them. And this sparked outrage in our community because there's already a history of police violence. And actually, Albuquerque has the highest rate of police shootings than New York City, which is insane. And so, you know, a lot of people in our communities are enraged and they're passionate because, you know, this can happen to anybody, right? Just several hours ago, another man was actually shot in the head by police. He's currently in the hospital right now. But what's sketchy is like the Albuquerque or just the police department, because there was claims that it was the U.S. Marshals that shot this man in the head, actually confiscated the phones of eyewitnesses. And so, like, this has been happening in our community since 2010, and actually way before that, but the community started organizing in 2010 against police violence and police brutality. And so on Sunday, there was a protest organized just by, you know, just people on the streets. Nobody was really affiliated with any organizations. It was just people who face police violence daily, and also young people who are just enraged by what's happening in our city. So there was this protest that was sparked, and it lasted 12 hours. And within that 12 hours, myself and the other SJPers and our community members, a lot of us weren't going to this protest because we initially, you know, we had to come up with a different strategy. But what happened was I was at a meeting in a park, and all of a sudden, I see protesters come up the street. And then I see riot police or police in riot gear come up to the park where we're having the meeting. And it was insane because it looked exactly parallel to what I see in the West Bank during nonviolent protest. They were geared up in batons, tear gas rifles, with like canisters, and they looked like they're ready to go to war. And this is before what happened during that evening. So Sunday evening was even more it was literally like I was in the West Bank at Columbia checkpoint. The police department was militarized, they had gas masks, they looked like they were ready for war. And many of the protesters in the evening were actually young college students and young high school students. And we counted 50 police officers one by one going up to near the university. And after the police officers, it was SWAT unit, militarized vehicles. And then after that, there were literally jeeps that looked like the Israeli Defense Force jeeps in the West Bank. And men and women suited up like, I don't even know how to explain it. It looked like a video game in a way, a video game like Call of Duty. I've noticed that a lot of the tactics that they used in terms of like how they positioned themselves in contrast to the protesters and how they were talking to like police liaisons. Actually, myself and a few other community members and SJPers were actually trying to negotiate with the police and try to de-escalate the violence, because what we saw was that the police were inciting violence like none other. They were pointing their rifles with, I don't think they had live bullets in them, but they had rubber bullets, but they were pointing them at young people, you know, who were just voicing their anger. It was just like, it took me back to Palestine. That night took me back to Palestine. And that's when I made the connection that, you know what, I'm pretty sure our police force is actually trained by Israeli police forces and Israeli military. Because now there's research that, and there's proof that police departments in the States are actually going to Israel and being trained firsthand. And so that's what made divestment here that much more real, because it's here in Albuquerque. What's happening in Palestine is happening here in Albuquerque. And that's why it's more of an obligation that our community comes together and supports this divestment resolution, because, you know, these companies also are supplying our militarized state here.
That's the voice of Dania Mustafa. She's an activist and organizer with Students for Justice in Palestine at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. Dania, finally, if people want to learn more about the divestment campaign at UNM and want to actually follow the hearing live as it's streamed on Wednesday evening, how can they do that?
They can check out our website, unmsjp.org. We're actually going to have the link to the live stream of our the resolution meeting, and it's going to be at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and it's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we're going to have information of our, we're going to post our resolution, we're going to post our demands, and we're also going to post the live stream. So people can tune into that on our website, unmsjp.org. We're also going to have a heavy presence on social media, so you can follow the hashtag UNMDivest. We will be sending updates and letting everybody know how the meeting is also going through that channel.
All right, well, we'll be sure to follow that and also follow up with your divestment campaign on our next podcast. Dania Mustafa, thank you so much for all you do, and good luck out there on your divestment hearing tonight.
Thank you, Nora. Appreciate it.
We now turn to Illinois. The Palestine Solidarity Legal Support Initiative reports that on Tuesday afternoon, the Senate Judiciary Committee of the Illinois Senate rejected Senate Joint Resolution 59, proposed by Democratic Senator Ira Silverstein, that urged Illinois university and college presidents to condemn academic boycotts as a form of protest. This means the resolution will not move forward to the Illinois State Senate. The resolution was a direct response to boycotts against Israeli academic institutions called for by Palestinian civil society in response to human rights abuses against Palestinians and recently endorsed by the American Studies Association and other organizations. The resolution included a thinly veiled charge that the boycott of Israeli institutions complicit in human rights crimes against Palestinians constitutes anti-Semitism. In its message to senators before the vote that rejected the resolution, the ACLU of Illinois affirmed that, quote, a boycott is an important and powerful form of protected expressive association protected by the First Amendment. Speech and nonviolent picketing in support of a boycott encompasses the practice of people sharing common views, banding together to achieve a common end, a practice deeply embedded in the American political process. By this collective effort, individuals can make their views known when, individually, their voices would be faint or lost. However, other similar bills are being considered in Maryland and in Florida, where the anti-boycott resolution took a step forward when it was passed by the State Senate's Education Committee last week. I spoke with attorney Dima Khalidi of the Palestine Legal Support Initiative about the current attempts to curb Palestine solidarity activism and free speech.
Yeah, in Illinois, it's been going on for several weeks now. There was a bill pending in the state Senate and a resolution as well. The bill, which would have defunded public universities that subsidize faculty travel or membership in associations like the American Studies Association that have supported an academic boycott, the bill, we mobilized many groups in the Chicago area and Illinois mobilized opposition against the bill. And this included graduate student groups, unions, the National Lawyers Guild, the Center for Constitutional Rights, Jewish Voice for Peace, a lot of CARE Chicago, a lot of smaller community groups that care about free speech and care about academic freedom and the right to boycott. So the bill stalled in the Higher Education Committee, then it was moved to the Judiciary Committee, and we weren't sure if it was going to be called. It hasn't been, and that the deadline for the bill was March 28th. It was moved to April 11th. So the bill is technically still alive and has been assigned to the Judiciary Committee. The resolution, however, moved when it was clear that the bill was stalled. The resolution moved to the Judiciary Committee as well, and it was made known to us that Senator Silverstein, who was the sponsoring senator of the resolution and the bill, was going to call the resolution for a hearing. So we've been preparing for a few weeks now to oppose the resolution as well. And the resolution is different in that it doesn't have the financial penalty. It wouldn't take away state funding from universities, but it condemns academic boycotts in general and urges universities to also condemn the academic boycott of Israel, insinuating that it has anti-Semitic motivations. So there was a hearing yesterday on the resolution, and in the end, the senators voted 2 against it, 3 for it, and 5 present, which is basically an abstention. So that means that the resolution will not move forward to the full Senate. It is now dead. So that's where we're at right now. Like I said, the bill could still technically be called, but I think given the much more severe nature of the bill, it's unlikely that the same senators would vote to move that forward when they voted against the resolution.
That's the voice of Dima Khalidi of Palestine Solidarity Legal Support. Dima, can you talk about the other states where bills and or resolutions have been presented, notably in Florida and in Maryland?
Yeah, and New York as well. There are, I think, 7 altogether, including a bill in the U.S. House in Congress. So the New York bill was the first one that popped up. That was also stalled in the Higher Education Committee of the House. It actually passed the state Senate there, and it is now still in House committee. And it's likely that will come up again in the next couple of weeks after their budgetary process is over. So we don't know what will happen with the New York bill, which also defunds a portion of state financial aid to universities, similar to the Illinois bill. The Maryland bill, it used to be a similar bill that would have defunded universities as well. It has been turned into a resolution type language in the budget bill. So it was kind of sneaked into the budget bill, even though it has nothing to do with the budget. So we're expecting a hearing on that very soon. We thought it might happen yesterday. So that's the status of the Maryland bill. In Florida, there is a resolution and a bill, and the hearing on that could be today or possibly next week on the resolution there. There's a bill in Kansas that we know of. There's a resolution that passed in South Carolina that we know of. So, you know, this is clearly a trend going on around the United States, mostly in direct reaction to the American Studies Association endorsement of an academic boycott.
And finally, Dima, can you lay out the danger in passing bills like this when it comes to protecting free speech rights and academic freedom?
Yeah, you know, the power of the opposition to this bill, I think, is testament to how important this issue is, not just for those interested in the Israel-Palestine issue, but for all academics, for all people who think that we should be able to protest human rights violations or social injustices in, you know, the form that we want, that we choose. Boycotts in particular have been held by the U.S. Supreme Court to be protected First Amendment activities, to affect not only speech rights, but association rights, assembly rights, petition rights. So I think one thing that really stuck with the Illinois senators that heard this resolution yesterday was the fact that bills and resolutions such as this would have condemned or defunded universities where there was a movement to divest from apartheid South Africa or to boycott apartheid South Africa. And, you know, there are all kinds of other situations where boycotts are the chosen form of protest and action against injustices. So it's important to realize that this isn't just about Israel-Palestine. These boycotts are a response to the Palestinian civil society call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And that's the kind of issue of the day or cause of the day. But it would affect a whole range of other academic speech. And really, we're talking about the state making a judgment about what academics should and should not be doing. When, you know, the law is very clear that academics have the right to discuss and debate and act on issues of public concern, which is what we call academic freedom. So it's really important and symbolic that I think Illinois rejected this resolution and this language for all academic speech and all struggles for social justice.
That's the voice of Dee Michaliti of the Palestine Solidarity Legal Support Initiative. You can go to their website at palestinelegalsupport.org. Dima, thank you so much for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you, Nora.
And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, and pointed opinion and analysis by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. You can also post comments and sign up for our daily email digest. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and we're now on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe and have the EI podcast automatically downloaded. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.